This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, April 24th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ag overtime tax credit fails. Boosting farm worker wages gains approval. Feds move to block dam removal, and China's trip preparation details are held tight. A proposal to offset agriculture overtime costs with a state tax credit failed to advance this week, lawmakers signaling concern over worker protections. GOP Senator Shannon Grove of Bakersfield argued SB 921 would restore lost earnings following California's 2016 overtime law, which lowered the threshold for overtime pay. She said workers have since seen reduced hours and $400 a week in lost income as employers limit overtime. California Farm Bureau testified that the credit would encourage employers to offer more overtime and cited research showing declining take-home pay. A farm worker from Bar 20 Dairy Farms in Fresno said reduced hours forced him to take a second job. Under the helm of the lawmaker who authored the overtime law, the powerful California Labor Federation pushed back, arguing the measure would subsidize employers rather than workers. The Labor Coalition warned the bill would shift overtime costs onto taxpayers and undermine longstanding labor protections. Senator David Cortese of Silicon Valley leaned into the concerns over setting a broader precedent for industry-specific subsidies, while Senator Lola Smallwood Crivas of Los Angeles, who chairs the committee, said the bill is at risk sending, quote, the wrong message on overtime policy. A bill to set higher wage floor for California farm workers cleared its first committee this week after a hearing highlighting stark divisions between labor advocates and agricultural groups. AB 2646 would establish a minimum hourly wage of $19.75 for agriculture workers, with annual cost of living adjustments tied to inflation. The rate is based on the state's 2024 average farm worker wage. Assemblymember Maggie Krell of Sacramento framed the measure as an response to persistent poverty and wage theft in the farm labor workforce. Krell said many workers are living in poverty despite underpinning a multi-million dollar industry. A Yolo County farm worker testified that even with long hours starting at 5 a.m., her earnings fall short of covering basic expenses, forcing her to take on a second job and rely on food banks. United Farm Workers, which is sponsoring the bill, and other labor groups argued AB 2646 would provide stability for a vulnerable workforce. Agriculture employers pushed back, warning the mandate would sharply raise costs. The California Chamber of Commerce estimated the bill could add $256 million to $736 million annually in labor expense and drive up food prices. The Trump administration is weighing a late-stage effort to block removal of two Northern California dams, injecting fresh uncertainty into a long-running battle over the Eel River, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said this week at a Southern California agency, the Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District has expressed interest in buying PG&E's Potter Valley project, including Scott and Cape Horn dams and the continuing operations. The dams are currently slated for decommissioning as a part of PG&E's plan to retire the aging hydroelectric system. The proposal, which has not formally been submitted, would run counter to the agreement among state agencies, tribes, and local stakeholders to remove the dams to restore salmon habitat while maintaining reduced water diversions to the Russian River. Representative Jared Huffman, who represents the district, sharply criticized the idea, calling it, quote, a scheme to export Eel River water, and accusing the administration of trying to federalize the Potter Valley project to block dam removal. He warned the plan could shift control of key North Coast water supplies and vowed to oppose any transfer to outside interests. PG&E said no proposal had been received and emphasized that decommissioning is already underway, raising questions about whether the administration's plan is viable. Policy conversations around fertilizer have started to accelerate with the introduction of numerous bills, but American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President of Public Policy and Economic Analysis John Newton tells AgriPulse that Congress needs to devote more attention to the issue. I think an important part of this conversation is that we need to have hearings. We need to get experts at the table, Newton told AgriPulse newsmakers. We need to get economists and industry representatives to help us think strategically about how we, in the short run and in the long run, solve this problem. With so much of the world's fertilizer moving through the Strait of Hormuz, Newton added, we're not really food secure if we have to import so much. About one-third of the world's fertilizer passes through the strait, which has nearly completely blocked the vessel traffic, that due to conflict with Iran. Newton remains confident lawmakers will support another farm aid package. Some lawmakers say could cost $20 billion after President Trump voiced his support at the White House farmer event in March. At USDA, Fox News' Stuart Varney pressed Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins yesterday about the Agriculture Department's plan to alleviate fertilizer prices for farmers. Rollins highlighted her meeting with fertilizer company executives, the waiver of the Jones Act domestic shipping requirements, and increased fertilizer imports from Venezuela. She did not, however, share a plan to mitigate the fertilizer shortage and price spikes. A proposed $26.3 billion budget for USDA, FDA, and CFTC cleared the House Appropriation Ag Panel and now advances to a full committee markup next Tuesday. Subcommittee Chair Andy Harris of Maryland praised the bill for coming in 1.4% below the 2026 funding levels, despite including the CFTC. The derivatives regulator was in a different legislative package last year. Harris applauded the bill's focus on fighting diseases like New World Screwworm, boosting support for child nutrition, investing in ag research, funding key rural development, and Make America Healthy Again programs. The panel's top Democrat, Representative Sanford Bishop, said he likes that the meeting maintains food aid funds for low-income seniors and preserves global anti-hunger initiatives like Food for Peace. But he criticized cuts in fruit and vegetable benefits for in Women, Infants, and Children food program and staff reductions at USDA. The markup before the full committee is scheduled for Tuesday, April 28th. Here's today's final word. I will work with you until the last day. I turn the lights off in my office. That's CDFA Secretary Karen Ross in her latest appearance under the Newsom administration before the budget subcommittee handling natural resources and climate change. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, April 24th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.